If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
That was Laika from neo-funk outfit Turquoise off their record Digitonium. I say neo only because describing them as a pure funk band doesn't do the musicians in this band enough justice. They play it all. Favorites on the jam band festival scene, these guys know how to bring the party wherever they go. I had a chance to sit down with Dave Brindwine, the frontman for the group, just before they left for Bonnaroo.
I think because it's dance music, it's generally... You know, and people of all types really react well to it. And, you know, the festival scene, especially nowadays, is so mixed. I mean, honestly, there's people in their early 20s all the way up to their, you know, 70s. And we kind of pride ourselves as, like, we say, like to say our main demographic is 25 to 75, which honestly... It's true. I mean, even if you look at our shows, if you come to our shows, you know, it's a really, really wide swath of people that we play to. I think it's just, you know, we draw from music from everywhere, from the 50s through the 90s, pretty much, and just kind of put out mix it into a concoction of things that we like and that we think everyone else will. And it kind of, you know, it works well.
Yeah, I guess being a musician or a band in this era is kind of cool because people take to all kinds of music. It's not like you only have Rolling Stones on your iPhone anymore, because with Spotify or iTunes or any of the other services, you really are listening to everything. And we've grown up in an era where all of us listen to so much music, whether it's hip hop or rock or funk or dance. I mean, we're listening to it all, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I actually just had a kid coming in. He was coming in, interning at my studio, and a young kid, pretty much just out of high school recently. And he was just kind of letting him kind of make a playlist on Spotify, just whatever he wanted to listen to. And it was really encouraging to see, you know, playing the beat, you know, Sergeant Pepper's 1 second, and then playing some new band I've never heard of, some really, you know, dipshit the next second that I wasn't even onto yet. And it was nice to see that young kids are aware of both what came before and like what's coming up next, you know, which keeps me on my toes too. I'm still expanding what I listen to all the time, but it's true. I mean, yeah, people are pretty well versed these days. They're not really afraid of anything.
Right. Does that help in the writing process? I mean, there's nine of you that that have to put pen to paper or pen to charts to come up with the music that you guys play. And I would imagine it's a fairly democratic process because it has to be, because there's nine of you. But everybody comes with kind of a different flavor and a different attitude to the music that you guys want to make.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's somewhat cool for us and unique for us to have so many people putting into the creative pool to begin with, because each one of those nine people draws from such a varied and distinct background of what they grew up listening to. And, you know, we are pretty inclusive when it comes to everyone playing a role in writing and coming up with their own parts and things like that. So, you know, we get to draw from that pool times nine of just all different influences and backgrounds. And it makes for something unique in our band, which, you know, I think not every band has. Even a lot of bands that do have several members, I don't think it's always as collaborative as it is with us. I mean, we have no hired hands. It's a band in the true sense of the word. Everyone is permanent members, and we all are, you know, like very close knit, like a family, really. And yeah, that makes for a unique sound, I think. I certainly hope so.
Digitonium was your last record, and I'm curious about the process in terms of getting everybody into a studio and kind of cutting shorter songs, because you are a live band. You know, you will improvise, obviously. I mean, that's what makes you guys so great. But, you know, putting all of that live energy into a studio record has to be different. And I would imagine that getting into a studio and doing Digitonium was a little bit different for you guys, because the songs are so well crafted and so tight. Was that difficult?
Kind of a good challenge that we like, you know, if you can sort of distill down the best parts of the song and actually within, you know, within 4 minutes, get the verse, chorus, maybe a breakdown and a solid minute of, you know, just straight, you know, really danceable section in there. And get out, you know, all that in a few minutes. It's an accomplishment. I mean, it feels good. Not to say that there's not times when doing something longer, even on record, not just live, can be good. Some of the greatest dance tracks ever, I think, are, you know, 7-8 minutes long. But there is something nice and fulfilling in its own way about making it really potent and distilling it down to a few minutes. And on this next record that we're making, we've continued to pose that challenge to ourselves on where it's appropriate. And the other day we even finished up a track that was, I think, just over 3 minutes, which might be a first for us.
Wow. You're writing pop songs.
Some, we're getting closer.
but then taking that, what you do in the studio, I mean, in Digitonium, there are all of those. I mean, the keyboard and synth sounds are so, so present that taking that again on the road probably presents a problem. Like, who's going to play all of those different synths and keyboards?
Yeah. And we've even had, both our trumpet player and our guitar player have doubled up. We've added a few synths over time, and it was a real process to learn the music from Digitonium, because we kind of crafted it in the studio first, and we let the live arrangement, we worried about that later and worked backwards from what we did in the studio. So yeah, we had to add a few instruments, have some of the guys double up, and you know, but that was a good process for us, honestly, because we grew as a band too, and there was music that we wanted to cover and things like that, that we would have probably never tackled before, that once we learned how much instrumentation we could actually pull off live, we got more ambitious with, and then that informs the writing even for the next record. So now I'm writing stuff and demoing it and not afraid to put that third keyboard part on there, because I know exactly where it can come from and how all that works. And so it's, you know, it was part of our growth as a band, I think, too.
I'm curious about the writing process, because it is a nine-head monster. Does everybody take part actively, or do the, you know, the brass people do their parts, and then, you know, the main band with you and Taylor and Craig do other parts? Like, how does it all work?
It's a little bit, it's kind of like that, but everyone does participate at a certain point, and usually myself, Taylor, or Craig will bring in a basic demo, an instrumental groove type demo, and historically I would kind of take that and run with it vocally, work on that lyrics and vocals from there, and you know, bring it back to the band. Horn players often make their own parts, and we like to let people kind of make their own instrumental parts when possible, so that it's stuff that comes to them naturally and they enjoy playing it, unless there's a really specific instance where the writer heard something, an exact horn line or something like that. But then also lately on this album, I've been writing more with Josh and with the girls, who are the other, collectively the other three vocalists in the band, which has been really cool and made for some really different sounding stuff that's been awesome. On this album, so it's giving this next record a bit of a unique sound with everybody participating more in the writing.
So as an ode to John Mayer, the next record should be Continuum, because I mean, it's a continuation in many ways to Digitonium, right, in terms of everybody getting acclimated to what's going on.
And it's, you know, and it's kind of like sort of trying to make a best of all of the styles of things that we've done over time, and make it all kind of fit together cohesively. I mean, if anything, that's the challenge. Digitonium, we really got in and got out in terms of the recording process, and it was very, very heavily stylized, and we really had, you know, it's a concept record, and so it has such a distinctive sound to it. This one, you know, we have all these different types of songs, and as a band, we're capable of playing a lot of different types of funk, soul, and even rock music. So, you know, we're exploring that more on this record, the only challenge being getting it all to sound like one thing. But that's why we're kind of taking our time with it and making sure it's right. And it's been a really fun process. We've actually been recording for a few months, and we're going to continue to keep recording for the next, you know, 2 or 3 months before we get into, you know, mixing and stuff like that. So it's been good. Yeah, it is a continuum of where we've been as a band, kind of moving forward, trying to again, like, distill it down, you know, and give the sort of, like I said, a best of all the things we're capable of.
You guys have been at this collectively, together for what, 5 or 6 years at this point?
Something like that. That's around when we started touring, like 4 or 5 years ago. You know, that's really been what it's turned into is, you know, a pretty full-time touring schedule. And yeah, it's been about 4 or 5 years of that.
And you still all get along, because I would imagine 9 of you on the road on tour as much as you have been for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, it could grate on everybody's nerves. I mean,
definitely. No, you would think so. I mean, we do surprisingly well with that. I think because it is, we really do feel and act a lot like a family, and so it's that same thing of course you have, people get on some, the people you love the most can often push your buttons the best and get on your nerves. And, but you also know, you know, that the bond is strong and the relationship is there. And so you can get through, you know, little tiffs and fights and even big ones here and there. I think everyone has become very good at, you know, there's an issue that comes up, you deal with it and you move on. And our goal is to make good music together and keep that going, you know, for our fans and for us as well. You know, that's our top priority. So we try not to let other things get in the way. And, you know, I don't know that there's any more challenge being bigger versus small. I mean, driving around in a car with the same one person for 200 days a year, I think would honestly be worse than having such a big group that the dynamic is kind of spread out across.
I guess being in a 9-piece band and all of the roadies and everybody who's part of the Turquoise family, you kind of need to be on the road a lot to feed everybody's face, right?
Definitely. I mean, touring is, I think, for most artists, it's got to be a fraction of a percent that make their living in music not on touring at this point. That's kind of where it is. And, I mean, for however much there was a decline in the recorded music industry sales, I feel, I don't know the actual numbers on this, but it seems to me like live music is at a bit of a peak in some ways. You know, I mean, it's the scene, and then we're blessed that in the scene we play in, I think, is very much thriving and alive and growing.
Well, it's great that you're able to get along and be on tour. So after this tour wraps up, and it never does wrap up. You're kind of always on tour.
No, people always ask that. Like, when are you going back on tour? I'm like, back on tour. I'm just home for like 2 days right now, and then we're leaving again tomorrow. It's part of the tour. It's all part of the tour.
Right. I mean, you think about it in terms of spring or summer tour, fall tour, winter tour, maybe
yes.
Take a break. But so you're on the road pretty much from June 8th going to Bonnaroo onwards all the way up until October. And I imagine there are probably dates that you're working on well into the fall, right?
Yeah. And actually, we're going to be releasing very soon our full list of fall tour dates. If anything, that's when the tour kind of really starts. We're doing mostly a lot of festival stuff with some scattered other shows between now and the fall. But in the fall, we'll be hitting the road at least a 40 show or something, probably more, tour that'll be getting announced very, very shortly. So stay tuned for that. We're going pretty much all across the continental U.S. And anything we don't hit, we'll be hitting shortly after early next year. But yeah, that's definitely a big fall tour coming.
What's been the highlight for you? I mean, you're on the road all the time. Has there been one instance, one place where you've played that's been a highlight in terms of inspiration or meeting other musicians that's been oh my God, I never dreamed this would happen or we would be here for you, not for the band necessarily, but for Dave and being on the road.
Yeah. And that's a great question. Definitely. I mean, we've had a lot of great things, like even in the last year. I mean, we just played at Red Rocks, so that was pretty amazing. We played at Red Rocks with Lettuce, who's a really great band that we've listened to for a long time. Let's see, we also worked on a couple songs on this album that we're working on right now. We had the pleasure of working with Jerry Harrison from Talking Heads on a couple of tracks, which was very, very cool. And so that was kind of surreal because that's a big reason we started the band was, you know, watching Stop Making Sense and listening to a lot of that music was a big inspiration for us. So that was amazing for me and the band, I think, both personally and the whole band.
Makes sense with all those keyboards.
Exactly. Definitely drew some inspiration from
from
there, for sure.
So you're on the road, and you're going to be announcing some more dates. And when is this? We keep talking about this record that you're working on now, and it's great that Jerry Harrison is contributing. When can we expect to see that record?
We think it's going to be sometime early next year. So, like I said, this one we're kind of really taking our time with it, making sure to do it right. But we've been working on it for a little while, so we're thinking, you know, it should be getting done late in the year and out sometime in early 2018.
Continued success, my man. And when we're closer to that date, we'll have you back and we'll talk about the new record, or maybe there's a way to get more of the band on too to talk about the new record. So continued success, dude, and looking forward to talking to you in the fall.
Thank you. Looking forward to it as well.
Before we leave you, have a listen to another track from Digitonium. This time it's Night Swimming, a pure funk track with an 80s feel. For more, visit Turquoise Band, that's TURQUAZBAND.com, and be sure to catch them on the road. Night swimming. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the Grateful Dead and you, their fans. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And find us at thesoundpodcast.com.